Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We've got a special guest, Evelyn Pyburn, from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
You bet. I've got the hot sheet right in front of me. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's see. We have, what do you think is the best on a hot sheet?
Honestly, so check this out. I thought the city sinking thing was the most interesting. The nation's biggest cities are sinking, according to a new study, due to land subsidence. Most common cause is underwater, groundwater extraction. I've just been reading a lot about water supply issues in the West, and that's a big concern if our groundwater supplies are running out.
Yeah, and I don't find that too surprising because, I don't know, over time at different points in time, I have read about, different areas where they're, pulling more groundwater for use rather than rivers and stuff. I mean, they are using the groundwater to much greater degrees. So, I guess over time it makes sense that that would be becoming depleted.
Yeah, and especially because some of these aquifers apparently take a long, long time to fill up. It's not like they immediately refill once you pump the water out.
Yeah, I wonder. I haven't ever seen how much of our water is in aquifers. That would be interesting to know because I think there's a lot of underground water. But, I don't know if it's. Enough to really meet our future needs or if we're really in peril here.
Yeah, they've got new technology with airplanes and radar, and they can scan underground aquifers and kind of see how much water's in them. I'd love to know, how our underground groundwater resources are doing here in Montana.
Yeah, I think in most areas there's plenty of water underground, but although I do know that there's some places where people have drilled and I've never found any water.
Right. My second favorite story from the hot sheet is the don't want to pay story.
Isn't that interesting? But it makes sense, People, this is a nice idea, but holy cow, I don't want to pay for it, And
so what that story is that 3/5 of respondents to a survey in New York, of all places, too, say they're not opposed to green energy, they just don't want to pay for it. They found 60% of the respondents in New York are unwilling to pay for clean energy and would only contribute $10 a month towards clean energy.
I guess that doesn't surprise me. I think that's kind of human nature. But I think it's really interesting if all the articles I've been encountering all over the world, green energy options, wind farms and whatever, are being abandoned mostly because of their unpredictability and the way they impact the grid and can cause it to fail. Not long ago, there was a huge...
We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, highs from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman, low 60s in Billings. Then on Tuesday, with a mix of clouds and sun, a few afternoon showers or thundershowers possible, mainly in Bozeman, with high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Think the war of words between President Trump and Elon Musk is cooling off a bit? No way. And it's still getting wall-to-wall coverage. And that's appropriate given the stakes here. So the president spent the other morning calling anchors at CNN, Fox, ABC, and elsewhere in order to demonstrate that he's not thinking about Elon, although those phone calls, which were on the record, would suggest that he is. Trump telling Fox's Bret Baier that Elon Musk has totally lost it. Meanwhile, Musk says he won't apologize for that outrageous ex-posting, suggesting that Trump is in the Jeffrey Epstein files. He may be, but Musk doesn't know it. He says he'll apologize only when the thing is released, but he has deleted that original tweet, which is an apology of sorts. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We're talking to Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, Caden, the producer, suggested I ask you about your thoughts on how the Trump-Musk relationship could affect the EV Tesla SpaceX market. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, maybe the left will quit destroying Teslas. What?
that's what I thought.
But, you know, I think it's nonsense to think that he would have not understood that subsidies for Teslas from the government, that was a contradiction to everything else he was doing. And so I don't think that Musk is holding out for his own special subsidies. I just don't think that makes any sense at all. And I also read where really he's kind of leaving that market behind somewhat as he goes more into the space issues and products or whatever. I think publicly it's a great thing because it's underscoring the real dilemma that is being faced by the country and by Trump, in that I'm sure Trump wants to cut more in the budget, but if it's not going to pass, then you don't cut anything. So it is a huge dilemma that really can only be resolved by our congressmen.
That's what I kind of think. I kind of thought that the real problem here is Congress. That's the problem. It's not President Trump.
Right. And I think it's a great distraction for the media who they don't want. I have never heard any Democrat give any kind of explanation about what they're going to do about the rising debt. They're not asked about it by the media, and I've never heard any kind of apparent discussion of it from them at all. So I think this is a distraction so they can continue to ignore the problem.
That's a great point. Totally agree with that. Well, hey, Evelyn, we've got Tim and Billings in studio chomping at the bits to get on the mic, but do you want to cover one last story or just throw out some information about the Big Sky Journal hot sheet and the Big Sky Business Journal in general before we let you go?
Well, you know, the Big Sky Business Journal, we sell subscriptions, and if you want to get it first and the 15th of each month, just give us a call. We'll be glad to accommodate you. And I don't mention that very often, but
I think it should be mentioned, though.
Yeah.
How do people sign up for the hot sheet that goes out Sunday nights?
Send me an email, evelynp@bigskybusinessjournal.com, and say you want to get the hot sheet. And that's as simple as it is.
That's awesome. So, well, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, we got Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for being here.
Morning, David. So Evelyn said that the Democrats have never said they have a plan how to increase this spending or decrease the spending. And I think I know what their plan is. Let's flood our country with tons and millions of illegal aliens and anybody else in the world, and then let them get a job, and we're going to tax the heck out of them. That's their solution to everything. That's what's going on in Europe, in a lot of European nations, you know, Germany, Norway, France. I mean, look at France. It's they have massive problems. They have areas in Paris where native French people, they can't go because the immigrants have taken over culturally, and they don't allow native French people into their neighborhoods and stuff. They call them no-go zones.
Right.
And that's the leftist plan, not just for America, but worldwide.
Yeah, and of course they do that because the fertility rate amongst people in America or in Western Europe is so low that we're not going to have a younger generation to pay into programs like Social Security. And but here's the problem: it's like if you bring in a bunch of unskilled, illiterate people from the third world, and then give them citizenship, that actually collapses Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, because they're going to just be mostly taking from those systems. So that plan to me does not sound like it's going to work.
Well, and that's just from the financial standpoint. Let's talk about culturally. You're bringing people into the country many times who come from Muslim nations, who come from nations that are very...
They come from socialist countries.
Exactly. And they will come in and a lot of them are very, strict in their beliefs. And they believe that if you are not a believer in Islam, that you are an infidel, and that they are required to kill or enslave you. And so these are not compatible cultures to put in a small area. So, you know, it's just the whole idea of collectivism and everybody's the same and every culture is the same and they're all equal. It's not feasible.
Yeah. Now, Democrats won't just come right out and just say it like, hey, this is our plan. We want to import, you know, a billion people from the third world to get them all working and fill up our businesses with employees. And that'll save you. They won't actually admit that. But then what's crazy is you see like what's going on in California. They're literally just protesting just basic enforcement of our laws. They literally do not believe that we should have immigration laws or a border.
Well, no laws for them. And hold us to the highest standard for any laws that they think we should be punished for.
that's classic. That's 100% right. Tim and Billings speaking the truth, as always. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We are taking phone calls and taking messages. I've got one from Cameron and Billings we'll get to.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Sure, the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with a mid-year assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. June is Migraine and Headache Awareness Month. The American Migraine Foundation says it's a time to spotlight a disease that impacts more than a billion people across the globe, but is still very misunderstood. That's about one in four households in the United States. It's also the second leading cause of disability worldwide. This year, the theme is I Am Invisible, but the IN has parentheses around it to show this problem is both seen and out of mind at the same time. For more than 90% of those who get migraines, they interfere with social activities, careers, and education. medication. Symptoms can include moderate or severe head pain, nausea and vomiting, increased sensitivity to light, sound or smells, difficulty sleeping, and more. There's no single cure for migraines, but there are treatments that can help manage symptoms, like medicines or simple actions like laying in a dark room or icing your head. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is a really cool deal. As you guys have been hearing, we are doing a Montana tourism giveaway package. Really cool deal. For 7 weeks, we are highlighting Montana's seven tourism regions. This week, Southwest Montana, and your chance to enter and win a Virginia City getaway, including a hotel stay, fire truck rides for adults, and more. Let's talk about a few fun facts about Southwest Montana. Did you know that Deer Lodge is the second oldest city in the state? Plus, Southwest Montana has been the location of all territorial and state capitals. You had Bannock in 1864, Virginia City in 1865, and Helena now since 1875. In 1888, Helena had more millionaires per capita than any other city worldwide. Here's what you do. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway to get a chance to win this week's tourism package.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Is the U.S. cattle herd starting to rebuild? That's what market analysts like Matt McQuaig with Cattle Facts are saying, but there is a caveat.
We have finally started to see a little bit pockets of heifer retention across the United States, but nothing widespread, nothing aggressive. We're starting to see that at the cattle and feed level. We look at heifers as a percentage of farm feed numbers. They're starting to drop down a little bit in the most recent report. And so that's one of our first or preliminary indicators. We're also seeing a little bit contraction between that steer-heifer spread at the calf level. So that's another sign we look for. And then we finally also kind of track the percentage of heifers that make up calf sales. We are still seeing pretty elevated levels there, down a little bit from the past 2 years, but still strong levels, indicating that heifers are moving around some still.
So what are the key differences from the last cattle cycle?
So starting with the previous cycle, that cycle low was in 2014 from a beef cow herd number. But the few years before that, 2011, 12, 13, we'd already been seeing increased retained heifer supplies, or increased retained heifer inventories, to where when we hit that high price, we were able to kind of take off and run and regrow that herd very rapidly. We have yet to see a year-over-year increase in replacement heifer inventories in this cycle, this go-around. And that's based on that January 1 cattle inventory report.
Even with calf prices expected to hold strong through 2027, drought will be the biggest influence when it comes to a possible herd rebuild. I'm Lane Nordblund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Tim in Billings here in studio. Taking your phone calls if you want to call in, 406-294-0970. Tell us what's on your mind. Ask questions, whatever you want. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Got one from Cameron in Billings. I'll get Tim's take on this, and then I got some other questions for him about some doge cut issues. But Cameron in Billings is commenting on a couple of stories I covered during the 6 o'clock hour about Northwestern Energy just did a 17% sort of emergency rate hike and then just did another rate hike here recently. And so you're looking at 25% increase in your electricity rates here going forward just within a couple of months. Cameron says electricity costs are going up. We need to charge our customers more. Maybe they could not give their CEOs that pay raise. Maybe they could shorten their lobbying budget instead. The USA isn't a picture of capitalism. It's a picture of the rich staying rich and oppressing the people. Thanks for that, Cameron. What are your thoughts, Tim?
Well, I think he has a point. The United States is not a truly capitalist country. We always talk about how, you know, the left always says communism's never been truly, tried in its purest sense. Well, neither has capitalism, because we've always had the thumb of government telling entrepreneurs and business people and the free market what it can and can't do. Let's let the free market run and let's see what happens. If you have a better mousetrap, people will buy it. If you don't, you'll go out of business. You don't need to be bailed out. My tax dollars shouldn't fund anything that you're doing, from a business standpoint. And let's let the free market reign.
Yeah. I saw, you know, of course, all these people that are protesting against ICE down in L.A., they're socialists, a lot of them, communists. They're anti-Israel. They're anti-Semites. They want Israel wiped off the map. But one of the things that they were talking about is, well, hold on. So you were just, well, say what you were just saying, because I just lost my train of thought.
About the protests?
No, about the rates and the cap. Oh, you know what I was going to say? Okay, I saw this graph, and it's a graph of human life expectancy, and then you got a similar graph of GDP per capita, and what you see is it's basically a flat line for all of human history until about 1700, the Industrial Revolution, when capitalism really sort of started to take hold, and all of a sudden it just spikes way, way up, both on economic wealth and life expectancy and all those things. And so all of these like socialists down in LA protesting against capitalism, protesting against immigration laws in general, protesting for open borders. Like, do they not understand that the only reason we have a good, high quality of life and long life expectancies now is because of the limited amounts of capitalism we do have?
Absolutely, but they don't care. Let's be honest. A lot of those people are being paid.
True,
they're being funded. We were just talking about this. When you're having these protests happen, and all of a sudden, you see that they're throwing cinder blocks everywhere, and these pallets of cinder blocks just mysteriously show up days before these quote-unquote grassroots, you know, local movement riots where, you know, the people are so outraged that they take to the streets. Well, who paid for those cinder blocks? Who delivered them? If you live in one of these cities or you have family that lives in one of these cities and cinder blocks, pallets of cinder blocks start showing up on their street corner, tell them to board up their windows and get the heck out of Dodge, because it's coming to their doorstep. And these are paid agitators. These are funded by the people. I don't want to say it's him specifically. People like George Soros, who has made a boatload of money by betting against the currencies of countries and bankrupting them, and saying not only that, but he was also a Nazi collaborator as a teenager. He went and ratted out his own fellow Jewish neighborhood members to the Nazis to tell them who had what, and so they could go and steal their wealth, and said in a 60 Minutes interview that if he didn't do it, somebody else would have done it, and it was some of the best times of his life. So that's the type of person you're dealing with, who he bankrupts countries, he will sell out his neighbors to save his own skin and make money for himself. People like that, they're funding these riots, they're paying people to be there, they're buying pallets of bricks and putting them on the streets. And, it's all theater.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is a lot of those protesters down there, they're not Americans. I saw a statistic like 60% of all people living in L.A. are foreign born. And they're out there waving flags of other countries. It's just, and the crazy thing is there was never even sort of any kind of incident like where there was police brutality or a police shooting or ICE did anything. They're literally, all they're protesting is merely the fact that ICE is just doing its job.
Exactly right. They're enforcing our immigration laws. They're enforcing the laws that are meant to keep our country sovereign, you know, and that's, these people always talk about the greater good. We should talk about that afterwards, the greater good. Think about that phrase for a little bit, and I have a theory on that after we get back.
All right, and then I'm going to also ask Tim for his thoughts on the Doge cuts and where those are at in Congress. He's got some strong feelings on that, but we'll be right back here after the 7:30 news break. About the greater good.
So whenever the left talks about the greater good, you think about our Declaration of Independence. Think about the Bill of Rights. Do they mention the greater good? They talk about our God-given individual rights. You tell me that if there's a greater good than your individual rights that have been granted to you by God, there are none. So when they talk about the greater good, it's collectivism. Collectivism always leads to socialism, Marxism, authoritarianism, pain, suffering, and death.
Well said. So, hey, one of the things that's going on this week, in addition to all the masked protesters with Mexican flags down in L.A., which it's so funny. It's like these people come here illegally from their countries, and then they'll sit here on American soil and wave the flag of their home countries. But then when we say, okay, we're going to send you back to that home country, no, don't send me back.
Right. They're kicking and screaming and clawing and trying to prevent that from happening, even though they're waving the flag of the country that we want to send them to. I mean, it's insanity.
It is. So there's apparently a rescissions package going through Congress, and it involves about $9 billion worth of DOGE-identified spending cuts. The House is actually expected to vote on this tomorrow on this rescission package. It claws back funding for the current fiscal year for both foreign aid and for public broadcasting budgets. I don't know if you heard the show Friday, but there was a story last week about how if these DOGE cuts pass, especially this part about the public broadcasting budgets, that's going to have a pretty big impact on NPR and PBS, which we've been calling to cut funding for. Why are we funding still NPR and PBS? It's like, my goodness. But then you've got people like Representative Don Bacon, Rhino out of Nebraska, who says he's a no on those cuts.
Well, the rescission is $9 billion. The DOGE team probably tripped over that just walking in the door of any of these agencies, because that's how inefficient and reckless the spending at these agencies has been. And I'm so frustrated with conservatives right now, with the Republicans, because President Trump won an overwhelming mandate. Republicans rode his coattails to victory across the states. Their lack of appetite to follow through on these DOGE cuts that were campaigned upon is disgusting to me. I'm so frustrated that everybody was all for it during campaign season, and here we are. Now is the time to get this stuff done. Stop working only 3 weeks out of the month. Stop going and campaigning for 2026 already. Get the job done that people sent you there to do. Stop coming up with excuses. And honestly, the other thing that's really frustrating for me is all this money that's out there, this wasn't passed just by Democrats. Decades of Republicans voted to go along with this stuff too. So this isn't just a one-party issue. This is a whole of government problem.
Yeah, and Senator Rand Paul was on the Sunday shows and kind of mentioned the same thing about if you actually look at our history, look at the deficit and the debt. It's gone up. It's gone up under Democrats and Republicans. So there's no question it's a dual party issue.
Hey, you.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Tim in Billings filling in for Aaron Flint here during the 7 o'clock hour, taking your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Tim, you had just told me something there during the break about Tim Sheehy. Do you mind repeating that one on the air?
So there's a social media site, and I don't recall exactly the name of it, but it's a politician's stock trader company. They put together an app where you can mimic the stock trading portfolios of politicians or influential people. And they mentioned how Tim Sheehy was the only person who had run and said that they would divest their interest in their trading portfolio, and he put it into a blind trust. And he's the only person in the Senate or the House that ran that said that they would do it that actually did it. You know, it should be illegal for them to trade any stocks that they have any possibility. The potential of impropriety should be enough for them to say, no, I'm not going to do that. No. They get in line, and it's the gravy train. They're all lined up to get as much as they can at the expense of the taxpayer.
Totally. I follow similar accounts on X, and I saw one post recently about a Republican congressperson who had run for office on the promise of not trading stocks and prohibiting congressmen from trading stocks, and that person's traded stocks like 25 times already. So the more you learn about Tim Sheehy, the more you kind of realize, wow, he really is the real deal.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
I tell you, the moment that I decided that I thought Tim Sheehy was – the type of person that we should have running for office was when he and his wife donated $1 million to Billings Clinic to make it a level one trauma center. When he said that in Kabul, Afghanistan, he was closer to a level one trauma center than he was in Montana. When they donated their personal finances, $1 million, to get that kickstarted, that's servant leadership. That's what we want in leaders. Not a charismatic person that gets the most likes on social media, not the soundbite warrior, not the people who can go on the late night television shows and have a quick little joke or play the saxophone or do whatever these guys do. How about somebody who understands self-sacrifice? They're not there for themselves. They're there to serve the taxpayer, their constituents, and to uphold the Constitution.
Amen. Well said. Hey, we've got a great caller on the line. We've got Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, thanks so much for calling.
Some of my favorites in studio. Come on now. Thank you. What's going on, guys? Happy Monday, and thank you to our veterans. You know, I just wanted to mention this riot thing for a second. And you guys are talking about great topics, all of them. This riot thing, and I'm just going to stop ever talking about it. I'm upset with these riots. I'm upset with these riots because for, what now, 3 days they've been going on. We knew this was going to happen. I called in and reported months ago about Mayor of the Ashes, Karen Bass, and her Cuban ties. Okay, we've all been reporting on this. We know the illegals need to go home. We rounded them up. What is upsetting me about this is the lack of leadership, okay? I don't really like the fact that we're coming out talking about for 2 days, we're sending in the National Guard, we're sending in all these other agents, Homeland Security, it's on, let's do this. 2 days later, what's going on? The same thing. I voted for action. I voted for Trump to make decisive actions and take those actions for results. We don't need to be seeing these riots. I want the riots to stop. I don't want another summer of love. And so as much as I love President Trump, I am also will be critical where I think criticism is due. And I think it needs to stop now. So there are my wise words for Monday, everybody. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And both of you are doing a fabulous job this morning. So thank you. God bless and have a good day.
Thank you, Kat. Well said, as always. Very well said. I can't say I disagree with any of that.
Absolutely. Thanks for the compliment. I'm one of those people that I'm fearful of the fact that we have to even talk about deploying the National Guard within our own country to put down riots because President Trump and his administration is in power right now. What happens eight years down the road when who knows, maybe in office, and they don't like the fact that we have a prayer meeting up on the rims or, you know, the night of worship, or they have Fields of Faith at West High's football field, or we have Celebrate Freedom coming up this summer, and they don't like that, and they deploy our you know, the lethal arm of our government against us because they don't like what we're doing. It's a very dangerous proposition, and we should be fearful of doing that. However, we also can't allow, I mean, I think if you were to look at the literal definition, what's going on in LA right now is truly an insurrection.
It really is. I mean, they're trying to overthrow functionally an overthrow of the U.S. government by basically preventing the U.S. government from having any power or control within that area.
And by people who may not be citizens of the United States and likely aren't. And obviously there are many that aren't. And that's truly an insurrection. That's an attack from within.
So Trump has not invoked, there's something called the 1807 Insurrection Act. The 1807 Insurrection Act gives authority for a president to deploy U.S. military on the streets. Trump has not invoked that yet. He hasn't ruled it out. There's also something called the Posse Comitatus Act, which prevents the federal government from using the military for domestic law enforcement purposes. And, of course, the reason we have the Posse Comitatus Act is exactly what you're talking about, is you do not want the president to be able to deploy the military within the domestic United States for law enforcement purposes. We've got the idea behind federalism in our Constitution is to have the local, the city police department sort of be the first line, and then you've got your county sheriff's office, and then you've got state highway patrol, and then frankly the federal government really shouldn't have people walking around with badges and guns under the original, other than for immigration specifically authorized in the Constitution. But the idea of like the IRS walking around with badges with guns, and you've got the BLM has people with badges and guns, and every agency now has people with badges and guns, and I don't agree with that.
And they have spent millions of dollars on millions of rounds, and what in the world does an accountant from the SEC need with a firearm to go in and investigate some brokerage firm to see if they're up and on the up and up? It's intimidation. It's we have the authorization for lethality, and you are going to cower and beg us to be able to make a living and scratch out some sort of subsistence in this government. And like I said, it's not just one agent. It's not just one political party that has allowed this all to take place. It's a whole of government problem. And the amount that our federal government needs to shrink is, you should look at it like a cancer patient. You have a tumor, you get some radiation or you get some chemotherapy. The size of the government should be the size you want that tumor to be when you're done with that treatment.
Right. Barely noticeable or not there at all. I got to read some of these Governor Newsom quotes. He dared Tom Holman to arrest him. Governor Newsom said yesterday, come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with, tough guy. Daring Tom Holman to arrest him because Tom Holman said, I'll say it about anybody. You cross that line, it's a felony to knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien. It's a felony to impede law enforcement doing their job. And so what Newsom then said is, Tom Holman, he's a tough guy. Why doesn't he do that? He knows where to find me. And then he said, Governor Newsom says, but you know what? Let your hands off four-year-old girls that are trying to get educated. Let your hands off these poor people. They're just trying to live their lives, man. Trying to live their lives, paying taxes, been here 10 years, the whore. So he basically, that's Governor Newsom basically saying that he does not believe that any illegal alien should ever be deported. That's what I take away from that.
Well, he's saying they're here paying taxes. They've been here for 10 years. We've allowed illegal immigration in California. We want their votes. We want their tax revenue. We want to protect them. And they are the more preferred citizen in California than an American citizen, because we're going to give them special treatment. We're going to protect them. We're going to allow them to go into the streets and destroy this small business. They're going to destroy public infrastructure that's going to have to be rebuilt at the expense of who? The taxpayer. You know, so they get preferred citizen status.
They do. Here's an idea, and this kind of goes to what Kat said. Okay, so let's say I think one of the reasons the Trump administration has not invoked the Insurrection Act and has been sort of reluctant to send in the troops, even though Trump tweeted out last night sending the troops, is simply because they may not have the legal authority to do it under existing law and precedent, and they don't want to get themselves into a legal trouble. But they could arrest Governor Newsom. They could go and arrest Mayor Bass or some of these other people for impeding ICE and law enforcement, because when you're out there literally doing what those Democrats in California are doing and encouraging people to stop ICE from arresting illegal, that sounds to me like impeding. We'll Absolutely. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by San Pellegrino. A meal isn't just about what's on your plate. It's about what you bring to the table. San Pellegrino believes the table is where the best of life happens. That's what makes gathering around it so rich and rewarding. And with their unique sparkling natural mineral water, San Pellegrino brings its best so you can bring yours.
Fox News commentary.
U.S. military recruitment numbers are up and ahead of schedule. It's amazing what happens when you focus on war fighting instead of woke. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The numbers are in and they speak for themselves. The U.S. Army announced it has surpassed its recruitment targets with more than 61,000 future soldiers a full 4 months before the end of the fiscal year. Officials also note fiscal year 2025 recruitment totals haven't hit the mark this early since 2014. That kind of thing doesn't happen by accident, my friends. Army Secretary Driscoll correctly gave credit to the strong and decisive leadership of both President Trump and Secretary Hegseth for this impressive enthusiasm and the welcome return of warfighter ethos. Isn't it amazing how many young American men and women are ready and willing to sign up to defend and even lay down their life for our country when they feel like that country and its leaders have their back? It's a new era for America and for our brave warfighters. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, highs from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman, low 60s in Billings. Then on Tuesday, with a mix of clouds and sun, a few afternoon showers or thundershowers possible, mainly in Bozeman, with high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got
every Viking voyage is all inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're taking phone calls, 406-294-0970, if you want to be on the show. We got a message from Cameron in Billings on the Montana Talks app. He says, it should be illegal for Congress members to own stocks. Maybe it should be illegal for all government officials to own stocks and capital and companies. Too bad they care more about themselves than the people they should be helping. Great point.
Absolutely. Do you remember Jennifer Granholm? She was the Secretary of Energy, I believe, under the Biden administration. And they talked about how 19 of her assistant directors or whatever had been making stock trades after they were told to divest, after they said they would. And she just, that lady, what a train wreck. I mean, you talk about not putting your best foot forward. Every time she went in front of Congress, she just put her foot in her mouth. And it was just, I remember one time somebody asked her, what's the Granholm plan for, cutting energy costs? And she laughs. And she said,
right.
There isn't right. one. You
right.
laugh at the American taxpayer that you're going to try to cut the energy costs.
Yeah.
What a wreck.
Cameron and anybody out there listening, if you're interested, there was a huge series. It was an entire Wall Street Journal series about a year ago, 2 years ago, that looked at regulators and bureaucrats in D.C. and their stock trading. And it's not just the politicians or the secretaries of energy or assistant secretaries. It goes all the way down to sort of low-level bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. that are working, and they went into a whole bunch of specific examples where, various different, there's a million different agencies and regulators in D.C., and they review permit applications, and they do all this different stuff, and they basically, the Wall Street Journal was basically able to prove that all of those low-level bureaucrats in D.C. and mid-level bureaucrats and everybody working on permit applications at the whatever regulatory commissioner, they were all trading stocks and they were all making millions off of trading stocks, and they were trading stocks based on what they knew was going to be the government's decision on a permit or anything like that. It's just so corrupt.
Absolutely. You want to know what those low-level and mid-level bureaucrats are called? They're called the swamp. They're called the deep state. What do they care about? Getting a raise, getting to their retirement, making as much as they can off the taxpayer, you know, and getting every stinking holiday under the sun off as well. Used to be to work in federal government, maybe like the post office and stuff, you had a pension, you had better benefits typically than the private sector, and you got a lot of holidays and stuff off, but you may not make a wage that was the same as somebody working in the private industry who was taking more of a risk because they're not working for an entity that could possibly go out of business. They're working for the government, which is, the government is like time. It is eternal. It'll never go away. As much as we want it to go away, it'll always be in our lives. And so that was the trade-off. You get stability, you get a pension, you get decent insurance, and you get a lot of holidays, whereas the private sector people, they're taking the risk. So higher risk, higher reward. And then somewhere that flipped to where, well, we need to pay the public sector as much as well because nobody wants to go into it. And so now
federal government workers make more than their private sector counterparts.
Exactly.
Which is totally unfair.
Absolutely. It shouldn't, when there's no risk that they could go out of business, it shouldn't be like that. And then in turn, they will turn around and they will write policies. They will make regulations. They will not permit things that prevent the private industry from flourishing because that's competition. That's competition to their government job.
Right. You know, one of the classic examples of sort of like government bureaucracies and organizations run amok is the Bureau of Reclamation, who was created to basically reclaim desert lands with dams and irrigations, and they built all these dams. And then once they were sort of done building all of the dams at good dam locations, they started looking at building a dam on the Yellowstone River near Livingston and near Big Timber. Right. And it's just like, okay, because they're dam builders. They're an organization to build dams. Like, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to perpetuate themselves.
Absolutely. When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, and that's what you see with these bureaucrats. Hey, I had another thought on Kat's call and maybe another potential way that the Trump administration could get aggressive with some of these protesters, and then we'll cover that here right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Short of the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with maybe your assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.